Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, you've got a guest.
We have a guest.
Yes.
I invited a guest. We have a guest.
And
it's a pretty high-level superstar we have today.
AFL footballer.
AFL footballer.
AFLW footballer.
AFLW. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. And also, very high-level cricketer.
Yes. But
we're going to talk about football.
And you know, she was not too bad a softball player in her younger years.
Of course, you had to put that in, yeah.
So do you want to introduce Britt?
We just did. We have Britt Perry with us. Welcome, Britt.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
Now, Sean, you get the honour for the first question.
Well, we spoke to you, I was trying to work out, it was a couple of years back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, since then, fill us in, because you've done a fair bit in that 2 years, and you're back here in Adelaide at the moment. But tell us what's happened in the last couple of years, specifically with the footy.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago I finished up my cricket career and was looking to get drafted into the AFLW and was lucky enough to go to the Giants. So I moved to Sydney and was lucky enough to play 4 games for the Giants in the season that we played. And then I came back to Adelaide and then got redrafted to the Suns. And so last season I played for the Gold Coast Suns and played every game, and the season got cut short. So now I'm back in Adelaide for a little while before I head back.
Now, I saw there was a Perry kick the first goal for the Gold Coast. What did that feel like, kicking the first ever goal for a club?
It was pretty special, especially because it was against the Giants. So that made it probably twice as good, but obviously I was just stoked to get a goal, I guess, and yeah, the first one was nice.
And there's a great little video, if anyone wants to watch it, go onto the Gold Coast website, and there's a great video of Britt being interviewed after the game, and of course, being the person she thanked her whole team for getting the ball to her. But I watched the video, and it was a bit wet, and there was a lot of ball movement. She picked it up clean, bang, slotted it in. Girls came from everywhere. Very exciting.
I actually kicked it against one of my sort of friends from my old team, so I was pretty happy about that too.
Rub it in.
Yeah.
So what is it like being an AFL footballer? Obviously, since I've known you as a little girl, you've always wanted to play footy, and to actually be an AFLW footballer now, you've reached the pinnacle of what you've wanted to do in sports, haven't you?
Yeah, look, I guess I'd always wanted to. I always liked working hard, and I always liked aiming for the highest I could get. I guess back when I was that little, I didn't think there was going to be an AFL league, so I kind of just wanted to play as high as I could and I guess keep playing for as long as I could. And now that we've got this, I feel extremely privileged to be able to play and, like, stoked to be able to share that with everyone else around us as well. So I like passing it on to everyone around me and being able to coach and come back to Adelaide and coach and share my experiences and stuff. So,
now you come from a very sporting family. You've got a twin sister.
Yep.
And you've got a couple of older brothers.
Yep.
Who play cricket and footy and all that. So you kind of was born into playing sport, weren't you?
Yeah, I guess I got lucky that I have a couple of older brothers who were very interested in sport, and so they were able to, in terms of cricket, I was able to chase all of their balls when I was a great fielder for my brothers. That's probably all I did. And then they taught me how to kick, so that helped me from when I was little, because obviously the pathway wasn't there. It is now, but it wasn't there when I was young. So I got really lucky that they really wanted to, that they played a lot of sport with me. So
moving from, like, in terms of obviously cricket and footy were something you were doing, cricket very high level, and then footy was on the back burner for a little while. You were playing SANFL for North Adelaide. Now, moving into the AFLW comp, how different is it from that, the jump from SANFL to the AFL?
Yeah, look, the SANFL is getting better. It's a higher-level competition and it's good, but nothing compares to the AFLW. It was like nothing I'd ever tried before. It was a huge step up. The game's a lot faster. Their skills are a lot higher, and it just is non-stop. It's hard work. It's really hard work, but it's really positive, and the crowds are great, and so it's totally worth it, basically.
What about the side away from the field? Because, again, and I'm not – this is – I find this really fascinating, because I was looking up stuff to see how you were going, and there is so much in terms of promotion – and merchandise. And so that side of stuff, was that new to you? Because does that happen at the SANFL? That sort of level of promotion?
No, not really at all. I guess the AFL is a whole other level, and it's and they're really, especially in the Gold Coast, they're really promoting the women's game. We were in a newspaper every weekend, basically, with everything that we'd done. I made a front page of a newspaper once. That was insane. Wow, so it's not something you get used to, and it's not something that you've ever had before. So, I mean, my family's all wearing Gold Coast stuff now, and so, it's exciting, I guess.
What about, have you stood or played against Erin Phillips?
Yeah, I have. Not directly, but she's terrifying.
Yeah.
She's so great. Little known secret. She actually was like my idol when I was growing up as a basketballer.
Yep.
I still have a bookmark signed by her that I once got signed, and I still have that. So,
and of course, she has been a wonderful basketball and now footy player. So, what is next? I mean, I know COVID-19 has put a bit of a halt on things for everybody. And so what happens next with the women's league and yourself? Like, how's that all going to work from now on getting back into the game?
Yeah, so I came back to Adelaide to, I guess, reset and start again. The Suns were amazing for me. I really, really enjoyed my time there, and I plan to go back. So at the moment, we're kind of in limbo, waiting for the Sun trade period and the AFL to get started. And it looks as though the AFLW will be exactly the same as it was last year. So I plan to go back, and then we'll be able to get back into it in sort of November, I guess, so back to pre-season, that kind of stuff.
So in the meantime, will you have an opportunity to play SNFL when they start up again?
Yeah, so I'm training with North Adelaide at the moment, and I think they've got planned 6 games, so we'll be able to play that, I think, starting the 27th.
So what have you seen? I mean, you've really got into it. It's almost worked. Do you think it's worked out almost perfectly for you in terms of, you've had that great opportunity in cricket at a high level, and now, football for women is just taking off, and you're still young and obviously playing that level. What's the future for you?
I guess it has worked out well for me. I tell you, I'd love to be 18 right now and coming into footy, but I was privileged to be able to play cricket for such a long time at a high level and still be young enough to move over to footy, I guess. The future for me, hopefully, looks like a lot of time spent in the sun on the Gold Coast and running around on the footy field, and I hope that I'll be able to work my way up. I really like leadership, and I really like doing that kind of stuff, so hopefully that's what my future looks like, building up and being able to get out in the community and stuff and spend more time around footy.
Now, being such a sports lover, growing up that way, the evolution of the AFL women's competition, it's only been going like the 3 seasons, it just sort of, it almost went bang and it hit us. And when it first played, it probably lacked a little bit of consistency in the better players, but it's really evolved to be a top-level competition now.
Yeah, definitely. The first few years were a bit scrappy and no one really knew what to expect. I guess you could say we're into our 3.5, maybe, seasons, because we didn't get a final, I guess. But it's building so quickly. The elite-level players are, there's many, many elite-level players. There's a small amount of girls who don't have the skill to be able to continue, and the 18-year-olds that are coming through have now followed the whole pathway through. So it's only going to get better and better, quicker and quicker, I guess.
And there was a fair bit of talk like this coming into this season. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the media about pay and making things equal between the men and women's comp. And I don't want to get into all that because it gets messy. But what do the women, what would they, I mean, you're one of the players there, you establish yourself in the competition. What's the talk amongst the women, the girls, about what they want the competition to be and where you'd like it to be, in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, look, I guess we don't look too far ahead because the game changes so quickly and the competition changes so quickly, hence COVID-19 and all that. So I guess we're looking to make the competition strong enough that we'll be able to sustain ourselves and that the AFL will then be able to introduce ticketing and things like that. I know that a lot of the girls are bringing in merchandise sales and things like that, but you can't identify that as a women's sale, really. So if we can get a monetary stream coming through, that's going to be massive. And then on top of that, we're looking to to make it so that the AFLW is normal. It's there, it's here to stay, and it's going to be around forever kind of thing.
One of the things I've noticed with the women's competition, as it's got better, there's been more knee injuries and things like that. And I think part of that problem is in regards to the development of the younger players coming through, whereas the boys play a lot of junior footy and their body's sort of attuned to it. But with the women's game, I think there's obviously a lot of people like yourself that played a lot of sport and kicked a lot of footies growing up that aren't susceptible to it. But I think a lot of the players coming into the sport, they're the ones more vulnerable to getting knee injuries. So really, it's still a couple of years before those younger girls come through that have that development process. Is that an issue?
Yeah, look, women are more susceptible to knee injuries as a general statement. That's our body, that's how it works. Unfortunately, we can't do anything about that. What is going to help, obviously, is the younger girls who have been kicking for longer are going to be able to take those tackles and change direction. And us getting an understanding of how to change direction without our knees going outside our body and that kind of thing. We're learning these things, but our pre-season only lasts a month and a half, 2 months. The boys train all year long. So, and they've trained for how many years sort of thing. So as our time expands, we'll be able to improve on that and it will get less and less. And on top of that, the girls want to make an impact. Everyone on the field wants to make an impact. So a lot of them hit hard. You probably never see harder hits. You know, some of them are pretty crazy. So I guess when everyone understands that and, you know, learns how to tackle effectively without the, I guess, pulverising pressure, then I guess the injuries will lower.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about training because that's something that interests me. And I thought, well, the girls do have that short season. So, how long are you around the club? You're saying it's obviously a short pre-season, but for how long are you actually around the club for the whole time, pre-season, playing? I mean, I know this year's a bit of a dud year, but what would be the normal time that you guys are at the club and all involved as a team are training?
Yeah, so we're actually limited to the amount of hours we're allowed to spend at training that is planned by our club. We're due to what we get paid, because we get paid hourly, basically, based on the men's rookie payments. So we get paid hourly based on how long we're there for, which means that we can't be there for any longer than, I think, 15 hours a week or something, which isn't really sufficient for an AFL level. To be an elite athlete, it's not really sufficient. So we end up spending in excess of probably 25 hours there. We train 3 times a week as a whole group. A lot of us do outside extras. So the training will last maybe 3 hours. Then we're doing extras on top of that, an hour, maybe an hour and a half hit. And then we have gym on top of that, which is another couple of hours. So I guess if you want to play AFLW at the moment, you're probably not going to get paid as much for your time, but it's worth it to build up the league, I guess.
And the gym training, I mean, in terms of the crossover in coaching, because that's another area, of course, that the league, we always think about the players, but having the women's league now offers opportunities for coaches. Yeah. And not just obviously your skill coaches and head coaches, but all your conditioning people and so on. So is there a crossover out of any of the people who work in the men's and the women's, or are they employing people specifically for the women's program, especially for conditioning stuff?
Yeah, so it's a bit of both. We have an S&C who's only for us women, and we're lucky enough to have some university graduates or master's degree students come in, and so they worked with us for the whole season. So we had sort of 2 or 3 extra hands around gym and around our training sessions and things like that. We had extra physios. We do have some crossover between the men's and the women's coaches in terms of, for example, we have Andrew Swallow as an assistant coach to us. We have some people behind the scenes doing media. We have people doing, I guess, footage review and that kind of stuff. They help us and the men's. We can go talk to the men's coaches if they've spotted anything that they want to help us with. We can go watch the men's trainings. The men at the Gold Coast Suns are really great. They help us out a lot in terms of whether, like, if we wanted to improve something specifically, we can go ask them and they'll give us a hand. So,
and are they encouraging more women into those roles, like the conditioning roles, the coaching roles, assistant roles? I mean, is that something that you're seeing, or is it?
Yeah. So I guess I've seen that, because the two places I've been are both, we both have women for the S&Cs, and they do a fantastic job. I don't know if that's in particular, but that's just my experience, I guess.
Well, thank you very much, Brittany. We'll have you on again when it all starts up again next year. So ends another Carlin Lades Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.